No nonsense. What up, and welcome back to another edition of the No Nonsense Sports Show. I'm your host, Jamie Mack, and I'm glad you guys are back with me for another week. I appreciate it. I know I skipped last week, but you know, honestly, I was just caught up. I'm going to just be totally honest with you. I had a lot of stuff going on. There was the Golden State Warriors streak I was trying to wait on, right? I thought they were going to get there. They got to 28. I was kind of waiting for them to get to the 33 or, you know, break the record and then talk about it. And it never happened. And then it kind of, you know, the weekend came. I had my fantasy first round playoffs for my league that I'll get into. And I was really focused on that for good reason. Some money league, $100 buy-in. So, you know, there's a chance there your boy could. I don't want to be a spoiler. Made a little bit of money this weekend. So we'll talk about that later. But I do got a good show lined up for you guys today. This is the Battle Royale edition of the No Nonsense Sports Show. Much like a UFC title fight, we're going to have a lot of undercards going on. And really, there's a lot of battles out there right now. And it's funny because I didn't intend for the show to go this way. But when developing my topics, I looked down and I was like, man, all of these are versus, right? And so obviously, hey, we got the Battle Royale. And so I'm just going to go ahead and kind of run down the roster of you know, discussions that I want to have today. One of them is going to be Pittsburgh Steelers versus Cincinnati Bengals, right? And if you've been watching, if you watched the game last week, if you saw the pregame, if you know anything about this history, this one goes deep. And so I definitely want to talk about that. People talking about they're going to paint them. I'm not even sure what that means. I know I'm getting older. Not sure what that means. I want to talk about that. That's one. I want to talk about Dwight Howard versus the media, because Dwight Howard's mad at the media again, because obviously they're making up stories and lying about him not being happy in Houston and wanting to get out. So he's mad at them. So that's something I want to get into. I want to get into the Rodney Harrison versus Josh Norman beef. Remember that show Beef back in the day? That's what this is. This is the beef edition of the No Nonsense Sports Show. There we go. But Rodney Harrison and the cornerback, the all-pro cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, seem to not like each other very much. So I want to get into that as well. Then we also have Jason Terry last night getting into it with DeMarcus Cousins' agent sitting courtside. Got my opinions on how that played out and what happened last night. I actually watched that game, so I saw it live. And then I want to talk about Shady McCoy versus, you know, Chip Kelly and the Eagles. And maybe not the Eagles, because obviously he still is in love with the Eagles. And, you know, it's not the Eagles in which he has beef with. So let's start there. You guys all know I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. And watching the game this weekend, it became clear to me what's going on between this whole Chip Kelly and the, you know, Shady McCoy beef. And there's been one of these, you know, people have handled it, I think, pretty well, and the other one not so well. And it's not hard to tell who was who. Okay, so if we just rewind back to Shady being traded, obviously he didn't want to be traded. Who wants to go to live in Buffalo? Not to say that Buffalo in the winter is that much better than Philadelphia, but at the same time, Philly was, you know, where he was, that was his home. And so he didn't show up, you know, when he got traded. That was obviously a red flag, yeah, that he didn't want to be there. But he didn't show up to after the trade for like 4 days. to kind of say, okay, now I'm here. But all leading up to this, you know, last week, where they, you know, were, you know, playing the Eagles and the Bills, and he was, you know, talking about Chip Kelly can't shake shit, you know, as far as, you know, Chip shaking his hand. There were rumors out there that Chip called him and, you know, he hung up on Chip, which Chip Kelly unequivocally denied, said wasn't true at all. And then the thing about it, right, is that this is obvious. Shady McCoy still wants to be an Eagle. It's clear. He would much rather be an Eagle than a Buffalo Bill. And if Chip Kelly wasn't there and there was a way for him to be an Eagle, I would have no doubt that he would take full advantage of that opportunity and become an Eagle again. It was clear, right? What's he do? Before the game, he talks to the owner, he gives him hugs, he daps him up. He's the only captain for the Buffalo Bills, and he goes out to for the coin toss and kisses the Eagle logo. Okay, and the thing about it is this. He made the whole game about him, right? It had to, you know, he had so much venom and anger towards Chip that he couldn't allow himself to just make this even not necessarily a normal game, because it's never going to be a normal game when you're going back to the place that traded you, right? It's never going to be a normal game, but it didn't have to have the hype that he allowed it to get to, and which is, I think, you know, going to, you know, reportedly that he was going to teammates saying, I need you to have my back, I need you guys to come through, blah, 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 right? I mean, putting more pressure on people that where pressure isn't necessary. Needless to say, they didn't win, right? And he didn't have the greatest game. I think he only had like 30-something yards in the second half, so on like 11 rushes. So it wasn't the greatest game. He didn't score a touchdown, and they end up losing. Game ended on a Tyrod Taylor interception. So after the game, after all the talking that you were able to muster before the game, he got nothing to say now. And this is where I think, you know, honestly, I know heat of the moment. I know, but you have to think about this before you get yourself into these situations, that this is a possibility. Much like someone, you're going to go commit a crime. Think about the consequences, man. Same thing with Shady. He didn't think about the consequences of what could happen if it didn't go right, right? Everybody thinks, oh, yes, if I'm going to go rob a bank, all I'm thinking about is the millions of dollars that I'm going to have. Okay, that's the best case scenario, right? The worst case scenario is that you get shot and killed by the police in an attempt to get away. How about that? And if you're not ready for that and prepared for that, maybe you shouldn't go out robbing banks, right? And the same thing for McCoy is that, dude, there was always that possibility you were going to lose this game. You didn't have a plan for what you were going to do in that situation. It didn't seem like it, because as soon as the game was over, my man storms off the field without saying anything to any of his former teammates, his current teammates, anybody. Gets into the locker room and is clearly pissed off. Slams his helmet up against the wall and is just screaming profanities. Obviously not in a good mood. Afterwards, has nothing to say to reporters. You know, they gather around his you know, locker. He says, I think, two words and then just walks off. That's kind of cheap. That's kind of pussified, man. If I had to give it a word, that's pussified, man. You should at least be able to allow your words, to be able to say words at that point. To say nothing and just storm out. I understand you're mad, but you brought all this on yourself. It could have been a lot less attention about it, and you still had the same goals, the same everything, but it didn't have to have all of the attention that you allowed it to have. I mean, so it's his fault. And honestly, I'm just a little disappointed in him that he did that. I mean, because he even admitted, I still got, you know, friends that play on that team. Well, he was kind of with your friends. Not to say that you got to go hug them or whatever, but at the same time, man, had you won, and this is the thing, right? And I know that it's hard, but had he won, I have no doubt that he would have walked across, mingled out on that field. He'd have probably been the last dude in the locker room. So, you know, if that's, you know, what it looks like when you're winning, it can't look all the way like this when you lose, right? There's going to have to be some sort of happy medium, and it just wasn't. And so, obviously, Chip Kelly said all the right things to me, says, you know, he owned the fact that Shady's trade wasn't handled right. He understands why Shady's mad. He should be. He said all the right things. Chip, like, he gained some points from me, in how he dealt with this whole situation. He could have allowed it to, you know, from his end go sideways. He could have gotten grumpy about it. Don't talk to me. He could have, you know, gotten back and forth with Shady about, you know, this, that, and the other. Not one point did he ever do that. He stayed professional as he could the entire time and always had believable answers or comments as it pertained to the situation surrounding McCoy. I have zero doubt that it was never about race. In case you didn't know, I'm a black man, and I didn't always necessarily feel that about Chip. Not to say that he was a racist, but, you know, with the Riley Cooper handling of that, and then, you know, all of these other players saying, you know, similar things, not necessarily coming out and saying race, you know, it was possible, right? But now that I have listened to Chip and seen, you know, more of the situation, I don't believe that that was the case. You know, I just don't. His explanations make sense to me. We got three for one as far as players. You know, what we were paying Shady, we got three players for. Now, granted, none of them are as good as Shady. and so, who knows, right? And this is the thing, before I move on, that I've always said about McCoy and that team, is that he covered up a lot of flaws, is what I don't, you know, a lot of people don't recognize. At least Chip Kelly didn't seem to recognize. When the offensive line wasn't, you know, at their best, Shady McCoy made positive plays. He made things happen where DeMarco Murray's not that guy. He can't do that. And so you need a line like they had in Dallas for DeMarco to be his best. Philly don't got that. They traded their two best guards away before the season even started. So, you know, that's part of, you know, the entire, you know, issue, is that Shady was, you know, a cover-up for Chip and some of the flaws that the offensive line had. And I don't think anybody really realized that until this year. And I don't even know if they still realized it. But if they listen to my show, now they know. All right. So in that one, we're going to say Chip Kelly was victorious over Shady McCoy. All right. And the next matchup, and this is one of my favorites, right? I don't know if any of you guys have, you know, are aware of it, but Rodney Harrison, right? Former safety of the New England Patriots, who during his playing days was consistently accused of being a dirty player. He never thought so, but, you know, he definitely was a edge of what was a dirty player type of guy. But he's gotten into it recently with Josh Norman, the cornerback of the Carolina Panthers. And it all started when, now that Rodney Harrison is a analyst, I believe, on ESPN. I'm not sure where he is. I think it's either ESPN or NFL Network. I don't know. But he made a comment that Josh Norman is great, that he's the best cornerback in the league, but that he was going to have his hands full with Julio Jones this week. And to which Josh Norman replied, "You're terrible at your job," which then it goes back, you know, and then Rodney Harrison replies, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm not terrible." You know, that's kind of insulting and disrespectful. Read the whole quote, you know, because he did say some positive things about him as far as him being the best and, you know, being a really good player and so forth. But that wasn't enough for Josh Norman. And so Josh Norman says, well, the reason why I called you terrible at your job is because obviously you ain't done your research, right? You sitting here talking without facts. The fact is, this ain't the first time I done seen Julio. And every other time was the same result. So had you done your research, you wouldn't have made that comment, and thus is why I call you terrible, right? I'm paraphrasing, of course. So with that being said, Rodney Harrison stops tweeting. And he goes full on, you know, on the radio to say this.
I don't give a damn about Josh Norman and what he thinks about me. He's playing football. Everything that he's trying to do, I've done. I've been in the Pro Bowl. I've been all pro. I played in Super Bowls. I don't care about that. I made money. So I'm not worried about what Josh Norman thinks of me. If he wants to use that as motivation, that's fine. I hope he goes on to have a successful career. I want to see young men make it. I want that. I don't hate Josh Norman. I don't care what he says. And yes, he's misinformed about the information that he's talking about as well. So it doesn't matter to me. That's the thing that he doesn't understand. And like I said, if he wants to make it personal, I'm not afraid of Josh Norman. We can always buckle up in the boxing rink and have a match. And once I knock him out, then I'll get up and give him a cold iced tea. It's all good.
Okay. So the thing about that, right, is that he's right. He's right in the extent that what difference does it make, right, what this dude is saying? Because, you know, he talks this and he talks that. I don't care. I'm not afraid of him, right? And it's funny because I love it when people boil things down to violence. Because in reality, that's what, I don't know, I don't want to say Trump's, you know, all things when it comes down to it, who can kick whose ass. But in a lot of instances, it does, right? I mean, you just look at the world, right? I mean, the strongest countries rule the world, right? The strongest, you know, fighters, you know, are the, you know, the champions, right? It's that way. The ones, and I should say strongest, the ones who are able to kick the most ass. So that is not always revolving around strength. But at the same time, Rodney Harrison said, we can get in the ring and I got no hard feelings. I'll knock you out. And after I knock you out, I'm going to wake you up and give you some sweet tea. Dude, I don't know where it's going from here, but just based off of that last, I mean, this, up to date, I think that's the latest. I think also Josh tweeted out a picture of the catch with in the Super Bowl where the guy, the Giants, I can't even think of his name now, pinned it to his head. And Rodney Harrison was on defense on that, talking about he's not a shutdown corner. He was never a corner anyway, he's a safety. But anyways, that doesn't, I don't think, trump the fact that he said we can get in a boxing ring and I'll knock you out. So what? So you can say whatever you want to say, but say it from over there, is what Rodney Harrison is saying. So in that match, you know, and as much as I never really been a Rodney Harrison fan while he was playing. I think that all of the Patriots that do it, you know, or that are former Patriots that now do, you know, TV or radio or anything like that, they're all big homers. They're never going to say anything about, you know, the Patriots that negatively, not to say that there's a lot to say, but they're all homers to me. So that's not really my issue. And I really don't care. I like the fact that there's this rhetoric between Josh and Rodney. And in a split decision, I think that I'm going to have to give that one to Rodney Harrison because of the fact that he took it to the ring. And we'll see. You know, that I would like to watch that. If they did some charity fight, that would be awesome. I don't think, you know, just looking at Josh, he's a little lighter than what Rodney is now, or probably even Rodney when he was playing. So I don't know if that would really be fair, but I don't know if Josh is not willing to do that, you know? So that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Josh and Rodney to get in the ring with some gloves on and do that damn thing. And then we can call that the rematch, round two, because Rodney won this first one. All right, so now I want to talk about, you know, this is the intermission, right? Because it's just something I have to talk about. And it's LeBron. And I know that in the past I've talked about LeBron and how my dislike towards his character sometimes, I can't help it, right? And it's not because he's not philanthropic, right? It's not that he doesn't do things to help other people. He does a lot of good things, but I don't know if he can do... Let me put it this way. I'm not going to judge all of his actions because I don't know all of his actions and what he does and doesn't do. But last night, the Cavaliers were playing the Boston Celtics, and LeBron, there was a kid from the Special Olympics sitting courtside, and LeBron went over there, interacted with him, you know, it made the kid feel special, right? And that I thought was very cool. Until the post game, and LeBron goes LeBron, and I this is why I have a hard time really getting into this dude. I'll let you guys take a listen.
I wasn't able to hear the whole story because I was actually in the game and coach was drawing up a play, but I looked about the Jumbotron and I seen what he's been through and where he is now. And I think the doctor said he would never walk again or talk again or something like that. I looked up there and right from there, it's just kind of just, you know, this game is so much more than basketball. And also seeing he had my shoes on. I designed those shoes for kids with conditions where they're not able to put their own shoestrings, not tie their own shoestrings. And he had a pair on. Those shoes that he had on are made for kids that can't tie their own shoes. And it's just one strap and they're able to get them on with like one hand or whatever the case may be. And when I saw that and I saw his story, it was just like, I don't know, I feel like I was a part of him, so, you know, just showing my respect and gave him my shoes, and, you know, it was well received by him. It's not for you guys, it's not for the fans, it was for him.
Okay, so the thing that bothers me is that, about that whole, you know, interaction right there, is that it always has to be about you, bro. It always, you can't. And this is, you know, I've talked about this before. I don't think LeBron is a narcissist. That's clear to me. As a former narcissist, as someone who is raised narcissist, hung out with them, have family members who are. I can understand. I can see the behavior traits of a narcissist from a mile away. And LeBron is probably the ultimate. I know that when you're that kind of a guy, how can you not probably be, you know, all of the stars typically are going to be narcissists, right? I don't think all of them are. And I think that's why when you find ones that are not, like maybe like Steph Curry or D Rose or Kevin Durant, those are, you know, come off as very genuine and you're like, gosh, I really like that guy because he's not the typical narcissist superstar where it's like, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? And so LeBron, Cool thing, right? He did, you know, what he did. You know, he treated the kid, and then after the game, even gave the kid his, you know, game worn shoes, and obviously made sure people saw him do that. Not, I don't know. I take that back. I don't know if he made sure he saw or people saw him do that. Maybe he just did it out of his own heart. But the interview, right? It always comes back to him. He's like, yeah, you know, I was looking out for the dude. Blah 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 blah. Those are my shoes I designed. I did that. I designed those for special needs kids because I am, you know, that guy. Because I am. And that's all I could hear throughout that interview is, look how awesome I am because I think of handicapped kids. Look at how great I am because I interact and care about them. Look at me. Look at how I... And it's just, maybe it's me. Maybe it is. I don't know. But honestly, soon as he started talking about how he developed the shoe specifically that the kid was wearing, blah 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 blah. Who gives a shit, LeBron? That's not why anybody was talking to you. They were talking to you just about the cool interaction that you had with the kid, and you know, you going out there and, you know, making him feel special, right? That's it. No one gives a shit that you designed specially made shoes, that you were the creator of a, you know, a shoe that was made specially for. Because again, it's like, hey, I did that. Look at what I'm doing to me. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm all the way wrong on this, guys. You guys tell me. But when I heard it, I'm like, eh, whatever, bro. You know, here we go again. LeBron talking about what I've done, you know, and what I am and how great I am. But if you ever... You think I'm lying. just wait until later on this year when Steph starts to get all the credit for, you know, MVP or whatever. And maybe he's not. Maybe he's past the MVP because he's got four of them. But I know in the past, he's tried to rip other or tear down other potential MVP candidates in an attempt to make sure that, you know, no one forgets who he is. You know what I mean? That's where we get this whole, the Mount Rushmore and he's going to be on it. And, you know, all of this other stuff. Those are all times in which LeBron wasn't getting enough, you know, views on himself and had to, you know, say, hey, look at me, guys. Don't stop looking at me. Which, again, I'm not going to judge him and say he shouldn't be this way or blah, blah, blah. But it's just one of those things that when he does it, it just rubs me the wrong way. And so that was the intermission of the fights. Let me get back to our next matchup, which is going to be Jason Terry versus the Fan. I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but the Kings and Rockets were playing. Jason Terry is chasing down Ben McLemore, trying to block his shot, and he misses, goes into the crowd, which happens all the time, right? And I've never really seen, you know, having formerly lived in Sacramento, have watched plenty of NBA games, I've never seen this type of interaction happen regularly, if ever, especially at, you know, Oracle, or not Oracle, but Arco, or whatever it's called now. I don't know, Sleep Train, not sure, Arena, or just in the NBA period. But needless to say, Terry, you know, there's a guy sitting courtside. Terry bumps into him, right, and uses him to kind of slow himself down. Now, mind you, for me, I think Terry had his hands on the guy way too long, right? Longer than necessary to slow him down, right? Because he was already done, slowed down, and he still had his hand on the guy's chest, and the guy, you know, rudely pushes Terry's hand off of him, which then Terry didn't necessarily do anything. Right, he turned around. He started to, you know, mean mug the guy. You know, DeMarcus Cousins runs over there to get in the middle of it. You know, all the benches and all the players surrounded, and it just becomes this big overblown thing where the guy ends up getting kicked out. I'll put a link to the video so that on the website, and then that way you can take a look at it yourself. The website is raresonics.com/no-nonsense-sports. And so take a look at that, man, and then tell me what you think. Because honestly, I think Terry was out of bounds on this one. I mean, just keep moving. Because when the guy pushed his hand away, it was nothing, right? It wasn't anything that required a response. Okay, the guy pushed your hand off him. He didn't appreciate how long you had your hand on his chest. It wasn't like my boy Jay Smooth and the New Orleans Saints fan at Taco Mac. It wasn't appreciated contact. And because of that, dude pushed his hand off. And, you know, Terry could have just walked away, but he didn't. He stood there and kind of gestured and made it something, you know. And then even afterwards, when people were trying to break it up, Terry is consistently not moving away from the situation, thus heightening it. And eventually, you know, everything, it was nothing. I don't know what the referees went to the replay monitor for, because I don't know, the Fan isn't part of the game. What are you gonna do? Give him a technical? I don't know. But anyways, they kicked that guy out. They ended up kicking another guy out in the same location. I don't know what was going on in Sacramento last night, but the fans that were sitting courtside just didn't have a good night. And as it pertains to Jason Terry against this Fan, I'm gonna say Jason Terry won. Nope, I'm going to have to go back. Jason Terry won the first round, which was getting the guy kicked out. The Fan ultimately got the last laugh as his team, the Kings, won, beating the Rockets last night. And I don't even want to get into the Rockets right now and how dysfunctional they seem, but I am, because that's our next bout. But anyways, the victor on this one for the overall match was the Fan. And Jason Terry definitely lost because, I think, again, the way he handled it wasn't the right way. All right. So that leads me to Dwight. Yesterday it came out that Dwight Howard said that he's not happy being Robin to you know, Harden's Batman. And so this is the thing. I think he could probably would be okay if Harden played more defense. But you can't hog all the offense, don't want to really play any defense, and, you know, think that the people playing defense are going to like that. I mean, if you were on a team, you're hustling your ass off on defense, you go back on offense, and before you can even get set up in the post, a three-pointer is bouncing off the rim, and you got to run back and play defense again. That's going to get old real quick. So I'm not really mad at Dwight for saying he doesn't want to be there. What I'm kind of tripping off of is Dwight getting mad at the media for reporting it. It's obvious, because if you read the quote that he stated afterwards, it's not like he's, you know, he says it's a lie. But what he's also saying, you can hear undertones of dissatisfaction in his current situation and what he's saying about trying to get people, you know, trying to make the best out of the situation, trying to get, you know, the teammates to do, you know, to be better and do this. I don't ever remember that being Dwight's role anywhere. Dwight versus the media is an ongoing thing, right? Ever since, you know, when he got Stan Van Gundy fired, right? When, you know, it was a continual thing where he says one thing in the media, and the media, I don't really think, cares for him too much, because they don't give him any accord, they don't give him any break. In this one, I'm going to have to go with the media, because I think Dwight's lying. I think it's clear that he's not happy there. Kevin McHale's no longer there. So, you know, he went there, right, for the big man tutelage, right? Hakeem, you know, Ralph Sampson, you know, Kevin McHale. All of these guys are part of that family, right? And they're going to help him be the best Dwight he can be. And that has yet to happen. I don't know. Not sure exactly what's to make of Dwight. You know, your team, would you want Dwight on your team? And then what are you willing to give up for Dwight? Not a lot. Really, not a lot at this stage of the game. Definitely not some young prospect, you know, with potential for Dwight. Nah. And it's a shame, because athletically, he should have been much more, right? Because he was physically more gifted than most other big men that played his position. He should have been able to dominate. But that hasn't happened. He got one team in Orlando to a finals in a bad, bad East, right? And sure, he had Jameer Nelson. He had some, you know, he had some help on that team. But, you know, it didn't get done. And I don't know what to make of Dwight right now. All I know is that he's a shell of the guy that was in Orlando. And whether it's injuries consistently, as a Laker fan, I am not mad that we don't have Dwight Howard in the purple and gold. I'm not. You know, sure, I was a little jilted, you know, at the beginning to say you dissed us for Houston, right? And I mean, publicly too, you kind of told everybody that you'd rather be with them than us. But thank goodness, because this dude is not going to be, unless he understands that he's not the guy that he thinks he is. Meaning, you're not someone who you can dump it down in the paint and say, go to work. You can't. You're not. You have the same moves you had when you came in the league. And they're not great moves. And I think there's like only two of them. Run and hook, you know, or, you know, push you down and dunk over you, right? I mean, it's kind of funny. So I think in reality, he is a glorified DeAndre Jordan. But the only difference is DeAndre Jordan understands and accepts his role. And that's the difference between Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan right now. Honestly, they're a lot alike, very similar in athletic ability. Both can't shoot free throws to save their life. And one just thinks that he's Shaquille O'Neal, and the other one understands that I'm more of a Bill Russell type of guy. Not to say Bill Russell couldn't score, and I take that back. I'm not going to say Bill Russell. a Mark Eaton, a Dikembe Mutombo, where I'm going to grab a bunch of rebounds, a Dennis Rodman. How about that? There it is. You guys need to be like Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was great and helped the Bulls towards the end of his career win three titles because he understood. I'm here for two things, defense and rebounding. That's it. If I get a putback, great. If I get a fast break, great. Whatever. But I'm not here for that. I'm here to specialize in these two areas, rebounding and defense. And, you know, the rest is history. The Bulls ran off three in a row. Not to say that they couldn't have gotten one or two, but they would have not gotten three again without Dennis Rodman playing his role. And that's where Dwight needs to be. Understand, defense, rebound, outlet, that's it. Catch some lobs. But the days of you thinking that you're a prime offensive option, dude, you got to let that go. And with that being said, since Dwight is delusional, I think that Dwight is delusional in the fact that the media is some sort out, you know, making up stories about him. I think he just needs to understand that, look, your situation could be better if you better adapted to your role and quit trying to be that guy. Because you wouldn't be disappointed in Harden, you know, if you understood the defense and the rebounding is all you're here for. But when you don't believe that or you don't think that, you want to be second option or complain about not getting enough touches. And thus is why Dwight loses that one. So, yeah, good luck with that one, Houston. You deserve it. All right. The next match that I have up here is D. Russell, you know, D'Angelo Russell versus expectations, right? I know I've spoken quite a bit on D-Russ early in the season, how he was underperforming comparative to nothing. He was just underperforming. But then when you put him alongside of the other top five draft picks, it really looked bad. I could say versus Kobe in this one, because I believe Kobe has been the main contributing factor to D-Russ's slow transition to the NBA, because recently Kobe has taken more of a backseat for the Lakers offense, not necessarily trying to shoot 20-something times a game. He's been performing better, but not only that, it's allowed D'Angelo Russell in the last week or so to have his most productive time in the NBA. He had another, 20 points last night, 19 or 20 points. Had a 7 assist, because that's still my kind of question. Being the passing savant that you were labeled to be coming out of college, to, you know, only have 2 assists, 1 assist, no assist on certain nights, even though you're scoring. That's not what, I don't know. That's fine that you're scoring, but that wasn't the exciting thing about you when you were being touted as the number 2 overall pick and the best passer since who knows, right? So 7 assists being, you know, career high, that's great. I think we got to keep working on that, because I think the more he can get everyone else involved and be that guy, that floor general that really drives the team, he's going to be better. Scoring, you'll get your scores whenever you got it, but I think we need a truer point guard than a scoring point guard at this point, you know, with the young team that they have. So kudos to D-Russ for, you know, getting better, right? For developing, for, again, and I said it, you know, it wasn't a finished, he's not a finished product by any means. And his book started off slow. But now it looks like we're into a new chapter. And I'm interested to see what this chapter looks like, right? And for the remainder of the season, you know, Julius Randle looked good last night, 14-14. And so if, you know, Larry Nance Jr. even looked good last night. I don't know who he bopped on last night, but he, I think it was Carl Anthony Towns. You know, if I had to pick the guy who was ducking out the way, I think it was. But needless to say is that D-Russ is starting to develop, you know, more to the expectations that everybody, I ain't going to just say me, I'm not going to say Laker fans, that everyone had of him coming out of the, you know, the draft. So kudos to you, D-Russ. Keep it up. Kudos to you, Kobe, for allowing him the room to grow, because I think that was a big part of the problem early on. So I'm going to give that round to D-Russ. Great job. All right, and this is going to take me up to my final challenge of the day, which is the Steelers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, so in this, and this is the main event, and that's why I saved it for last. So if you're not aware, you know, leading up to this game last week in between the Steelers and Bengals, that there was a lot of rhetoric, right? I mean, if you're not aware, if you, you know, Vontaze Burfict, right, is the linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, and also the same guy who put Le'Veon Bell out for the season, right? And in doing so, just stimulated this rivalry even more. It's not that it needed it, right? Because people are saying, oh yeah, this goes back to what? To Le'Veon Bell getting put out. I think it goes back further than that. I mean, these guys are division rivals, so you have to understand that anytime you play a division rival, there's always going to be their level of animosity because you guys see them more than any other team in the league, right? So this is a rivalry that's gone back. I mean, as far as I can remember, I think the first time I think it got real serious for this, you know, matchup was back in 2008. And I don't know if anyone remembers, but back then, the Bengals had a rookie linebacker that, you know, by the name of Keith Rivers, who had his season ended by Hines Ward. Hines Ward, and then this is why they changed the rule in the NFL. You can't crack back block like this anymore. But you used to be able to light people up that weren't paying attention. And Hines Ward was the master of this as a wide receiver. And he lit Keith Rivers up, broke his jaw, ended his season. So that was in 2008. So obviously there's been no blood loss since then, right? But obviously when you add the Le'Veon Bell injury, you kind of get this hype, right? So going into this week's game, it's going down, right? There were tweets flying all over prior to the game, and it didn't start just right before the game. So after the first game, in which, you know, Vontaze ended Le'Veon Bell's season, one of the Steelers tweeted out, one of their linebackers, Vince Williams, said that, "I catch Vontaze on South Beach, I'm painting that boy." I'm an OG. I don't even know what painting means. I mean, maybe he's talking about wetting them up. I don't know, shooting them. I don't know what. And that's what Cincinnati took it as, right? Because, you know, one of their linemen said that they had, you know, Vontaze had been, his life had been threatened. So obviously everybody took that as a threat on Vontaze's life. And then you really can't get this, you know, whole feud going if you ain't got some Pac-Man Jones in there. And I'm not calling him Adam, because he wasn't Adam. He was Pac-Man when he sent out a tweet that said this.
"I'm sitting here looking at the thing on ESPN. I guess Pittsburgh got all gangsters. Mike Tomlin tell his team to shut the fuck up and play football, because ain't nothing going to happen to 5-5 on the field or off the field. Dig that. Y'all want to go report, so report that, bitches."
Okay, so again, it's you know, it's real. You know, it's because these people are talking about not what's going to happen in football, but what's going to happen in the streets. And all of these guys probably hang in similar circles, you know, VIP rooms, clubs, whatever the case may be. You would expect some running into to be done. And if it sounds like if there is, there's going to be problems between, you know, players of the Steelers and certain players of the Cincinnati Bengals. So for me, it's getting scary, because again, this is how it, you know, Tupac and Biggie die, right? You start with words, and then it just gets so personal that it's not about words anymore. So it's interesting to see, you know, during the game, there wasn't any John, but before the game, you know, there was, you know, Vontaze is, you know, at the midfield talking to Williams, and Williams is talking back, and then all the other people come, you know, teams are, you know, meeting in the middle of the field. Pac-Man Jones is out there, you know, with crutches and a walking boot. I don't know what he's trying to do, you know, but that dude, I'm not messing with Pac-Man. Obviously, if you guys don't remember, Pac-Man Jones is the same guy who had a bouncer shot up at a strip club in Vegas 1 year. And I don't need to be shot. Obviously, if he's not a shooter, he definitely rolls with shooters. And, you know, I'm just not trying to get shot. So when Pac-Man got involved, I'd have had to politely bow out if I was any of the Steelers. But, you know, I'm going to have to respect their gangster and see what they do. But, yeah, during the game, Vontaze hits Big Ben at his ankles, you know, on a play that clearly looks like he didn't have to do that. So it doesn't seem like anybody's going to be getting any Christmas cards anytime soon from the other side, you know, as far as that's concerned. So I'm going to have to call this one a draw, because I don't know. Honestly, in calling it a draw, I'm just rooting for the rematch in the playoffs, because that's when it counts. And everybody knows that the Bengals have a poor record of handling their business when it counts. So he who laughs last, right, what they say, laughs the best. So we'll see. That one's a draw, and it gives you something to look forward to in the postseason, hoping that, you know, the Steelers make it, which it looks like they probably will. All right, folks, and with that being said, that's my show, man. Not really. That's my show for just general sports topics. If you are interested in fantasy, hang on. We're about to get into the fantasy focus. All right, so couple of leagues I need to update, right? The Worldpay All-Star Fantasy Football League in the second round currently of the playoffs. Lot to update you there. Then, if I have time, I will get into, you know, the week 7 and 8 of the Media Masters Fantasy Basketball League on ESPN.com. So, let's just start off with the Worldpay All-Stars on CBS.com Fantasy League. So, while I was away, a lot of stuff's happened, right? I think last time I talked to you guys, I was on a 7-game win streak. Well, it ended there. I didn't win 8. I lost the last game of the season. But, luckily, was still able to make it into the playoffs because I had head-to-head tiebreakers over other people with the same record. Right, that's how it works, right? So I made it as a 6th seed, but it doesn't work that way all the time. So we just break it down. The first round of the there's 6 teams. There was 2 teams on a bye, and 4 teams played last week. Well, the number one seed, for some reason, decided he needed to play. And that was I Am Your Father. Ended up getting the number one seed overall. But I understand he went by some rule that he made up, that because someone with a better record in a different division had a better division record than him, they deserve the number one seed. So be it. Didn't have anything to do with me. Ain't stopping my shine. So I'm not going to argue about that. You cost yourself a loss because he had to play in the first round and then lost to an individual who only had 5 wins and was able to make it into the postseason. The reason why is because out of those 5 wins, 3 of them were divisional wins, which allowed that person to win their division. I know, I'm not gonna say too much more about that. You guys understand how stupid that shit sounds right now. So I'm not gonna, anyways, karma's a bitch, and they ended up playing. Not karma and I Am Your Father, but money and I Am Your Father played this week. And obviously, as you know, kind of can hear in my tone of voice that, yeah, he lost. I Am Your Father, the number one overall seed, the chief shit talker and dominating team of us non-factors of the league, is done. I almost want to, you know, ding dong the witch is dead, but not really worried about that. Me personally, I had a first round matchup against, you know, one of the other top tier teams, Cleats. And obviously, you can tell in my voice, I handle business. Gronk came back, allowed me to go ahead and, you know, work him into my lineup. It wasn't even close on either side. So me and Money are moving on to the second round. I have no idea who we'll play because my commissioner may just decide to have us play each other. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm on to the second round, folks, this weekend, or actually starting tomorrow. And so I'm juiced because at this point, it's all gravy. I'm in the money round. I get to play for money no matter what, whether it's, you know, next weekend for first place or next weekend for third place. I'm still in the money. I'm still eligible to try to get me some loot out of this, right? And that's the reason why I play this. I mean, it's fun and all, but I didn't put up no money not to make no money. So anyways, that's where we're at. So the matchups should be, then let me just go ahead and put them out there so you guys know. It should be I Don't Give a Fuck, which is me, against Blackout, who is the number one seed, I believe, or I'm not sure. And then The Mob, which is also in my division, would then play Money. And I think that's going to be the way because they don't want two divisional teams to have to play each other. So we'll see. And if that's the case, you know, wish your boy luck, man, because one more win and I'm in the chip round. And ain't nobody gonna like me then because obviously, you know, the season's over for the majority of the league. So nobody checks the message boards anymore. Nobody probably even checks the website, but I'm killing them. I mean, every day I come up with a post that just irks the shit out of everybody in the league I know because nobody wanted to see me there. Nobody liked the fact that I would call them on their bullshit all season long. And so to have me now still being relevant when none of them are, it's gotta be eating them up. And I don't give a damn. I love it. So that is an update for, and it's going to get quicker because, again, next week there's only two games this week. So I'll just be recapping two games just like I did this week and talking about the chip round and the consolation round. Not really going to get into Media Masters, even though I did win. I will talk about them next week. I got a big matchup this week against OG Steve, who's been a monster of the week 3 weeks in a row now, meaning that he's had the highest scoring team for 3 weeks straight. So, hey, wish your boy luck in that one, too. It's not a money league, so I could really give a shit less. But, you know, in the money league, that's where I need y'all to be sending out them good vibes because I need a good week to get into that chip round. And again, you know, first place, $700, right? I mean, you cannot. I mean, shit, I'll take $700 any day. So obviously, I'm sitting in the catbird seat waiting to see what's going to happen. I'm feeling good about this week, but in fantasy, you never know. Again, just ask I Am Your Father, who all year long had the one of the highest scoring teams, got mollywopped. I mean, their team just kind of just wet the bed. So it can happen to anybody. So I'm not overly confident, but I feel good. I think I'm playing a team that is beatable by my team. And they have some bad matchups defensive-wise because that's what it all comes down to in fantasy. The other guy's matchups versus your matchups. You could have an awesome player like a Julio Jones, but have him facing a Josh Norman on a championship round, not good for your Julio Jones, right? So you may want a Kamar Aiken going against, you know, some lesser cornerback, and it's not the name, it's the production. And that's what people don't understand about fantasy. But anyways, that now is my time. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me today, talking a little sports and kind of just going through these matches, man. Let me know what you think. You can always hit me up on the email at tnnsshow@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, which is raresonnets.com/no-nonsense-sports. And that's raresonnace.com/no-nonsense-sports. All right, folks, until next week. And I will be back next week, whether I win, lose, or draw in regards to this fantasy sports shit. And till then, peace.